Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Disappear Completely. Here's where it gets fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
So it's a Spanish movie. Naturally, when it comes to Spanish movies, basically you're watching everything in subtitles. And the names are going to be just as fun to say because Corey loves messing with me and watching me trip over all my words trying to say these names.
But I took my time typing this up just so I could hear you fuck up nonstop.
I have to break up the note here because of the amount of names per person.
It's okay. Four names, Steve.
I know, but we're getting to it. All right.
All right, go.
The movie's directed by Luis Javier Henin. I'm going to go with it. Written by Ricardo Aguardo Fentanes and Luis Javier Henin. Starring, here's where it gets fun, Harold Torres as Santiago Mendoza, Titi Espinosa as Marcela Colorado Luna, Fermin Martinez as Oficial Jose Luis Barsuto Cabo Coches, and Vicky Aricio as Official Lupe Sempredo.
It wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
Oh my goodness. Well, that second person's name, that Fermin Martinez, I'm going to summarize his name like crazy. He's going to be Jose.
So, that's all they called him in the movie, so I have no idea where all this extra stuff came from.
Me neither. Okay, he's Officer Jose. Mm-hmm. And then there's Officer Lupe. So we're going to go with that. The plot of the movie is a ruthless tabloid photojournalist, Santiago, dreams of showcasing his work in an art gallery while making a living capturing gruesome crime scenes. However, unknowingly crossing the wrong people at a high-profile murder site and losing his wallet, he becomes cursed by an eerie supernatural force. As his body begins to fade away, Santiago must find a way to break the curse before he disappears completely. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out, support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Disappear Completely?
You feel so many emotions throughout this entire film as Santiago is literally losing everything. I kind of felt bad for him because there's nothing he could do to stop it because he's trying to figure out how to solve this curse and he can't find any answers. And he wasn't a bad guy, which made you feel for him even more. I love the cinematography and the lighting in this film was absolutely next level. Kind of reminded me of what Robert Eggers does with his movies. Overall, this was awesome, and it definitely was a gut punch with the way that it ended. And we both know how I feel about happy endings or non-happy endings.
Oh, yeah. We know exactly how you feel about that right now. 100 episodes in? Well, actually, this is 101 now.
Damn.
I think we've all... Yeah.
I didn't even know that episode with Bill was our 100th episode.
Dude, it was so last minute. We were just like, oh, shit, he's available? Let's interview him. And then it just hit us after. Like, we didn't even do nothing fun. No horns. No... Bam, 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 nothing.
You
None
could do
that
it,
stuff.
Do it in air episode horns. 101.
Episode 101, air horns. Bam, 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 bam.
Yes.
I'll put in something better. Or I'll just leave it. Fuck it.
It stinks.
It stinks. So just get all the hits in on our 101 episode. That's what we're celebrating today. So if you look at my notes, which, I mean, you're not a fan of looking at my notes because you like me to just talk about them.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
No, that's fine. So I start off shit-talking it. just being fucking snide and ridiculous, just saying like witty, stupid shit.
Why? And all right, now I'm going to look.
Because like, I wasn't impressed at the beginning. I was just like, oh, whatever. Just kind of feeling like Nightcrawler, whatever, that type deal. And then it progressively got better and better and better. And then I was fucking hooked, man. You know where I was hooked? The hearing. When the hearing went,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't think I've seen that before or heard that before. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, it was definitely an experience. And I'm sure maybe that is supposed to replicate how a deaf person actually, you know, lives their life. To me, it sounded like I was underwater for the last, like, what, 45 minutes of the movie, maybe 30 minutes?
Something like that.
It was so agonizingly beautiful. And then it just got even more fucked because you're getting the subtitles that we've been seeing the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he's not speaking, like, people are talking around him, but it's not subtitles anymore because he's lost his hearing.
Yeah.
And then his vision goes at the very end and the subtitles are completely gone. It was so fucked. Gutted me. I know we just basically skipped to the end of the movie, but
it's fine.
Like you said, the hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. The hearing is what hooked me. However, and this is where like I kind of was like, oh, okay, it's cool. Whatever. He's losing his senses. I should have fucking known that he was going to lose his hearing and eyesight. I should have known because he lost smell, taste, and touch. He lost three of those. And those three senses, you can't exactly convey when someone's watching a movie. You can only convey what someone can see and hear.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm like, all right, he's losing these senses or whatever. It's like nothing big. And then like the hearing goes, and that's where I was like, whoa. And I started thinking my TV was fucking up or something.
Yeah.
But no, it just dawned on me like, holy shit, that makes so much sense what's happening right now. And I was like, man, this is okay. This is fucking redeeming shit right here.
Yeah, and you mentioned like it's not something we've seen before, and it's true. I can't think of anything like that, which sort of brings me back to the way the movie started, and I thought it was going to hate it from the beginning because it's chapters again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that. Do days count as chapters?
I'm considering them chapters because we go through, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and he loses a different, was it a sense a day or every other day at least?
I think it was like every other day because it's five senses.
Yeah,
right.
So it makes sense, one a day. So the chapter thing, we absolutely hate chapters in pretty much any movie we've watched. Mm-hmm. But this one, each day of the week, it meant something to the story. It just wasn't a random ass chapter plopped in the middle of a movie. We have the five senses, the 5 days of the week.
Yep.
Each day is dedicated to one of his senses just leaving, and he's fucking deteriorating like himself as a person.
Yeah.
For a whole, hour and 30, 40 minutes maybe?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Hour 40. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was just, it felt like something, the chapters meant something, and you're just getting dragged along this guy's life for 5 days of the week and just seeing him fucking lose everything. It felt so real, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So I want to go back to this. You said he was kind of a nice guy. I didn't think he was. I thought he was kind of a douche.
That's the, we have the opposites, apparently. So you thought he was nice, and I thought he was an asshole.
Oh, I thought he was nice? Oh, I don't know. I thought he was an asshole, too.
Yeah, I know. So I'm trolling you.
Oh, fuck you, man. So
I feel like he was a good guy. He was just trying to earn a living and provide for his family and become a photographer. Try to get on magazine covers, you know, be the next Peter Parker reporting to the Daily Bugle, trying to sell his photos.
I guess.
Did you get vibes like when he showed up to that guy's office the first time and like showed him the photos and the dude was basically telling him they were nothing? It reminded me of when Peter Parker went to the Daily Bugle trying to sell his images the first time. And fuck, I can't remember the guy's name, but he told him, you know, he's like, fuck off.
J.K. Simmons, I at least know
that. Actor, yeah, but what's the character?
Oh, God, that's going to elude me. But I always know he's like, Peter, just yelling at Peter all the time. Go look it up real quick.
It's J. Jonah Jameson.
J. Jonah Jameson, J.J.J.?
J.J.J. So, yeah, he's the guy that works at the Daily Bugle, but I'd love to know if the guy who made this movie, any sort of inspiration there, because it was kind of identical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can assure you, he was probably an influence because they had a lot of the same mannerisms. And I was into it. Immediately, though, I did think of Spider-Man because of the way that guy acted and just the whole idea of a freelance photographer going in to the paper and selling his shit. So that was his thing, man. He would just sell pictures and he was not a full-time employee or anything. That's all he did. And I kind of got Nightcrawler vibes with that as well because with Nightcrawler, you remember Nightcrawler, right? With Jake Gyllenhaal?
I don't think I ever watched it because...
Oh, my God.
Dude. I'm not a Jake Gyllenhaal fan.
Oh, you'd be a fan of that movie. Mm. Let me tell you.
All right.
That's a good one.
photography movie.
So what he does is he films these police scenes at night, and he just becomes like kind of more in tune with what he's doing and crazier and more manipulative and more business savvy. And he's got zero compassion for anyone. You're going to like it. I don't know how to really express how much I like it without fucking butchering a story. So right. I don't want to give everything away. There's all no right, massive twists or anything, but it's like you're watching and you go, fuck, this guy is nuts. He's intense. He's very intense. He's very intense in that movie.
Okay.
So I was getting that sense because same deal. He would go to police scenes and get, well, Jake Gyllenhaal would get video. This guy got photos and he would just be all up in there and taking video or photos and all that shit. But this guy was a little different. He would like do both the photos that he would give to the newspaper, and then he would just take his own same exact photo with a different camera and want to use that as his art piece. And hey, I don't know. Art is subjective. So people will see that and go, oh, wow, I wonder what this conveys. And really, it's just a dead woman wrapped around a pole or something. And it's like, okay.
That's exactly what the opening scene was.
It's exactly what the opening scene was. So it kind of started off with a bang. But I didn't think this guy was a nice guy because you have to be, one, pretty callous to be doing that stuff, just taking photos of dead people and then selling it to the newspaper, and the newspaper prints it as is. Like, the families, I'm sure they'd be a fucking mess if they saw, like, their child wrapped around a telephone pole, front page, just dead.
Yeah, but it's not like he was doing it for fun. He was doing it for work.
Yeah. Well, he did it. It was like his passion, because he was using that to, like, have it for, like, an art gallery piece or whatever. And when I thought he was an asshole was when his partner told him she's pregnant. And he's like, you know how I feel about kids.
Oh, okay. That was kind of shitty. He told her that they couldn't keep it and she had to go get it taken care of, is what he said.
Basically, yes. That, to paraphrase, that's kind of what he was saying. And she wanted to keep it. Initially, she wasn't looking for kids. He wasn't looking for kids. But they were together for like fucking, I don't know, 11 years or something. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they mentioned.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, shit or get off the pot. Either you have a kid or you get married or just don't fucking waste the other person's time. Unless there's like clear expectations that both of you don't want kids and you don't want to get married. And then it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But
true. But yeah. They weren't married, right? Or were they?
No, they weren't married.
Did they talk about it?
I don't know if they talked about the marriage thing, but I remember her saying at one point, this is the biggest thing that's happened to us since we've been together. So she was excited about it. And dude, there's one scene later on where I'm like, oh, he's a real bad guy. That's what I was thinking. And there's a nice twist at the end. But the dog just was solidifying me, being like, this is a really bad guy.
Okay. All right. I take it all back. Do you see my comment?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just said, all in caps, I hate this movie. Rip zombie.
Yep. Rip zombie. Zombie is his dog, by the way. And Rip is what he did. Just fucking cut the thing open in a ceremony to get rid of this demon. And the way he's trying to get rid of this demon, you know, we didn't even talk about how he got this fucking demon, or like this curse, I should say, got this curse. The way he got this curse is he showed up late to a crime scene after he found out his partner is pregnant, goes inside, he's taking photos of this body, and the body like kind of jumps up out of nowhere. Like, they both thought the body was dead, and it was like kind of like, I think a curse transferring when that happened. That's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, he was just taking photos.
Yeah, they never really went into detail.
No, they
about
never
how
did.
He got the curse.
Right. And I was thinking that the police officer that was with him while he's taking those photos, wouldn't he have got it as well? I mean, they're both kind of in the same room, unless that person strictly cursed him because he left his wallet behind. So
yeah, I don't know.
I'm not exactly sure. I was starting to think, though, that he was having seizures, and I was wondering if these seizures were really just like in his mind, like causing all this shit to happen. Like, he's having seizures and he's losing his senses and stuff. I was like, oh, that'd be a weak twist, but okay.
Well, we had that scene too where he was having really vivid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
He like had one that he thought he was dead.
Yep.
And then there was one where he had rats eating his feet.
Oh, that was brutal.
And he woke up in the middle of it. And then he dreamt that his girlfriend was dead.
Yep.
What were those dreams called? Rapid fire dreams?
Yeah, that was me.
So this dude was having rapid fire dreams and he wasn't even on Eddie's.
Yeah. And it was kind of foreshadowing. I don't know if you noticed that, because
it all happens.
But yeah, it doesn't really happen. Like, it kind of does. Part of the curse is that there's rats involved in one aspect or another, and they're just around the dead. There's one, though, like when he comes out of the second nightmare, he sees his partner, her stomach is sliced open, and which is an indicator of like, oh, okay, that baby's going to be gone soon. And we later find out that the fucking culty, I don't know, shaman or something, he was just by himself. It's not like it was a full-blown cult. He was just doing like dark arts and shit and cursed him. And he said, in order to get everything back that you lost, he's like, I need the spawn. I'm like, oh.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen when he said he needed a sacrifice.
Yeah, see, I thought
I thought Santiago was going to go and cut the baby out of his girlfriend.
Dude, that's what I thought initially, too.
And then he gets there, and his wife calls him, and she asks, do you have zombie?
And that's when you went, no.
Yeah, I was like, uh-oh. Oh, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Yeah. I like the little twist of the frog with the eyes sewn shut.
Oh, the one he finds in the vent?
But he also finds it in his house. So
yeah, he finds, what, two in his house?
Well, he finds one in his house, and he finds one at that other place where he initially got the curse. And what I thought was cool about that was that nightmare that he had, his eyes were sewn shut. His eyes and mouth were sewn shut, just like the frog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, how did that guy get into the house and leave that shit there? Mm. I mean, it doesn't just show up, right?
I don't know. Good question.
Someone
teleported it there.
Maybe, who knows? But the dog kept going after it like crazy. And then the dog, I don't know if the dog was possessed, or maybe the dog noticed that Santiago was cursed or evil or something. And that's why he started being so hostile to him. And that's when, like, you know, Santiago was like, all right, I'm just going to fucking take this dog and sacrifice him. Bullshit.
Ugh. So that was Thursday. And then we get the chapter for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up with Santiago in the shower washing his dog's blood off of him.
Yep.
Oh, so gross.
Fucking awful, dude. It's, fucking animal abuse, not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Nope, same. But we've talked about this before.
We have. It's funny because you're perfectly fine with kids dying, but animals, that's like your bugaboo.
Animals are better than people, what can I say?
Yeah, a lot of animals. Well, animals are pure. As long as they're like good to them, they're like amazing to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've met my dogs.
I have.
They're the most loving creatures.
They are. They bargain me.
You, though, actually. What? I was going to say, not to you, actually.
No, I come in, they're just like barking like crazy. And then I sit down, it's like, oh my God, a human. I'm like, what? Okay. It's like I'm best friends now.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe it's like I'm just taller than them. And they're like, fuck, I don't like you.
Maybe.
And then as soon as I sit down, I'm like, oh, you're kind of smaller.
Could be the bald spot.
Fuck you. It's not the bald spot.
What?
You're the one that has a bald spot. Your head's shaved.
Yeah, true. I should stop doing that because I don't have much left up there.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see a Corey with long hair. That would be funny.
I'm going to grow my... Here we go. I'm going to grow my hair out like Jonathan Davis.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to wear purple tracksuit.
Fuck yeah. If you're real thin up top, just grow your hair like Terrence Hobbs from Suffocation.
Yeah, okay. I like that too.
Yeah, or like...
I could be Devin Townsend with the skullet.
There, I was just going to say Devin Townsend's another good one. Do the skullet. Fuck yeah. I don't have the skullet going yet, but I know I could get there at some point. So
you're well on your way.
I am well on my way. I got to just shave my head and just call it a day. But it's fucking cold out, man. I don't want to fucking shave my head when it's fucking freezing.
Do you ever leave your house, though? Do you go out often?
I've been trying not to.
No, I was going to say, you don't need to worry about getting cold. You don't leave your house. If you leave your house, just wear a beanie.
Yeah, I leave my house twice a week at this point because it's just too cold. Last night I was out and just walking around, I'm like, this is a fucking nightmare. It's 15 degrees, but it feels like -5.
It's been the wind, dude.
It's been brutal. Absolutely brutal. Like, if you're out there for more than a few minutes, you're in trouble. Yeah, easy. Yeah, it's tough. That's New England. It's always fucking freezing here. So where were we in this? We're talking about the dog being murdered. Poor zombie. You know what's kind of interesting? Before that, he's visited that. I think this is a shaman or someone that's like religious and they like heal people. A healer, spiritual healer. I think spiritual healer is probably the word I want to use. or phrase I want to use. So this spiritual healer, he goes to them and she rubs this egg all over him and cracks open just pure black. I'm like, oh, that can't be good.
Shit was spoiled.
Yeah, that was a spoiled egg. Spoiled ass egg. And you've seen Drag Me to Hell, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course.
Sam Raimi.
That's a dumb fucking question.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he kind of went to someone that was like that. However, that person was more like, I don't want to say gypsy, but they had a lot of the healing potions, but they had like the fucking crystal ball shit too. So this lady was just straight religious. Didn't have any tricks or anything like that in front of her. She just putting a cigar on his chest and he doesn't feel it at all.
Yep.
Fucking, yeah. That's when we noticed.
I cringe there.
Yeah. That's when we noticed the feeling portion gone. So yeah, this guy was getting real fucked up at this point. And then of course this lady is like a PCP, you know, like a primary care physician, checks his shit out.
I thought you were talking about a different PCP.
No, not that type. So she's like, yeah, you've got some evil in you. I need to refer you to someone else. It's gonna cost you.
He goes to urgent care and finds out he's cursed, and he gets a referral for it. You think his insurance is going to cover that?
No, his insurance ain't covering shit. Oh, man.
Oh, someone's getting popped in New York again.
Oh, damn. So this guy basically seeing like the urgent care goes, nah, you got to go to the hospital. And so he goes to this,
like, going to your doctor because you think you're possessed and they just tell you to go to the ER. What the fuck?
Yeah, okay, I guess. Like, thanks for the heads up. Just let me know something I could have done by myself.
Go to the ER for your demon, pal.
Yeah, get out of here, pal. So he goes to the ER slash, like, the, I think this was either Indians or like Aztec, but they're in the fucking middle of the woods, man. They got this fire going. There's like an Indian drum and all sorts of shit. And they're trying to get the curse out of him. So he goes through this whole ritual. His eyes are fucking white and everything. And it's like a whole ordeal. And he's thinking he's cured at this point. Because at this point, he sacrifices his dog. And he's been through his whole ritual. He goes home. He showers the blood off of him from zombie. And then he realizes, or he notices his hearing going. Oh, correction. His hearing doesn't go just yet. A fucking bug is inside his ear.
The noise that it made?
The vroom.
Yeah. Like, and it was at like a good 5 minutes or so. That's what the listener hears too. Because was it the PCP? Pulls it out with a pair of tweezers.
Yeah. No, that was his wife. She got it out. Okay. No, the PCP is the spiritual healer who's like, no, you got to go somewhere else and you go and pay 250,000 pesos, I think. I think it was pesos. Because this is a Spanish movie. I don't know if it takes place in Spain or if it takes place in Mexico. I didn't really gather which one it was. But if by the looks of it, probably more in the East, not South America. Just by like the cars and everything. You know, the cards look different. I don't know. So what was I getting at? Oh, yeah. That part was really cool because now you're almost like hearing what he's hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like this, you have this buzz going on and it's a bug in your ear, basically, which is nightmare fuel, man. I couldn't imagine having a bug in my ear like that. And there's been stories. I've seen videos of fucking like spiders going in people's ears, moths, shit like that. I saw one guy, a moth flew in his ear and it's like flapping around in his head and he's like, you know, they're going in there with tweezers and shit. Fucking awful. It's an awful watch. I don't recommend it.
Nope.
Not a fan.
I have no interest.
No, I don't suggest it.
I'll stick to my normal Instagram reel timeline.
Oh yeah, you maniac. So this is where we start to hear what he's hearing. So he's got the buzzing going on and then it's like, you start hearing it progressively get worse and worse. Like the buzzing. You hear the buzzing like he's got TMJ. Is that TMJ? You know, where it's like the buzzing in the ear from
tinnitus?
What's that?
Isn't it tinnitus?
You're right. It is. Tinnitus. TMJ is lockjaw type deal, which leads to like the fucking hearing issues. So yeah, it's tinnitus. He has the tinnitus going on in his fucking ears, that buzzing. And I'm like, oh shit, I know what that buzzing's like. Because I've played way too many shows and gone to way too many concerts, and I haven't worn enough earplugs.
I didn't wear earplugs till like 5 years ago because of you.
Yep.
I don't even think it was that long ago, actually. I think it might have been 2 years ago.
Might have been. It's when we saw Judas Priest. I'm like, dude, you should probably wear earplugs.
Yeah. My watch thing just went off with the decibels, and it's like 190. I'm wiping blood off the side of my face because my eardrums exploded.
It was so loud. Priest is so loud. I'm glad I wore earplugs, man. Great time anyway, though. I remember us fucking sitting there in our VIP area, you know, a lady come by offering us drinks. I'm like, this is the life.
Yeah.
If I can go to every show and do this every time, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'd go to more shows.
Yeah. Just fucking sit there, have my drink, have a waitress come by. It's fantastic. That's the life right there. So his earring's starting to go. He goes back to the spiritual healer that referred him to basically the ER of spiritual healing. And she's like, well, nope, too late. Sorry, nothing we can do. We've done all we can. It's like, okay, cool. I guess I'll just go die then.
Just go fuck myself.
I guess I'll just go fuck myself. So now he's trying to look into this a little bit more. He's like, I'm going to fucking figure this shit out. He goes back to his house. He's looking at the photos. He sees a lady in the mirror or some sort of entity or being in the mirror that wasn't there when he was there. So he goes back to that place where he got the curse, finds the frog, realizes that there's some shit going on. He talks to the cops. They're like, we don't want anything to fucking do with this. They're like, you're on your own. We don't want to be cursed. So he manages to track down the senator who believed in like in the dark arts and the occult. Yep. I'm like, all right, I like where this is going because I love my culty shit, right?
Yeah.
Love that culty shit.
You're a big fan.
I'm a big fan. So love that culty shit. It was just so fucking random that a senator was just big on that shit. But the idea was the guy that was murdered, he had a curse and it was, I presumed, placed on him by the other person that wanted to be the senator, like take his place.
Mm-hmm.
And so he somehow managed to get in touch with her people, like an ex-driver. And then he said, I know who you can go to that helped her out type deal. And he went there and then he sees all the shit, like all the voodoo doll type shit, you know, the bones, the rats, photos, everything. He sees the whole fucking deal. And he walks outside and he sees a guy in the distance fucking naked wearing, I don't know, a bullhead and just by a fire throwing shit in. I'm like, oh, here's the culty shit again. I fucking love this. I got a little
what
bit
was
of
he throwing in the fire? I don't remember.
I don't know, man. Some culty shit, I guess.
Okay.
The bones, dust, something. I don't know. He was throwing something there. But I got a little bit of a jump scare here because at this point, he's basically completely deaf. You hear like things every so often and he turns around and that guy who was wearing that whole fucking getup with like he blows something in his face and I'm thinking it's probably like some sort of mixture of something that can like easily knock someone out. I think that's what happened, but blew it in his face. He comes to, he can't move at all. And this is where the guy's like, I need you to deliver me your spawn as a sacrifice and I will give everything back. He hands him this fucking little thing, like a little potion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, he's going to fucking do it. Oh, what a fucking scummer. Oh, yeah. My God.
Scummer. I've never heard of that.
That's a good one. I like to use that when someone's really fucking scummy. He's a scummer. So Santiago's like, all right, goes home. He's completely deaf at this point. There is no subtitles. You do not hear a single thing. It is dead ass silent. So the beauty is, I don't have to pay attention to subtitles at this point because no one's fucking saying shit.
Yeah, true. You're just glued to your TV. Dude, you couldn't blink during this closing moment here.
Exactly. I couldn't
blink. Fucked.
I was...
Because you thought he was about to kill his wife.
Oh, yeah, dude. I thought he was about to kill his wife because he gets some tea together. She's in the shower. She's just, I don't know, showering. And he gets tea ready. He pours the potion in. And she comes back. She hasn't seen him. So she's like, you're kind of getting this idea that she hasn't seen him. She's upset. She's worried. All this stuff. He can't talk to her. He can't hear her. And she's trying to talk to him. And she starts to take a sip of the tea that he poured. I'm like, oh, here it fucking comes. No, he hits the tea out of her like hand. I'm like, oh, okay, he did the right thing. And then he goes blind.
Also, fade to black. Finn.
Fade to black. That's how it happened. He goes blind by fading to black. And I thought that was awesome. I'm like, okay. So it's kind of like a pseudo good ending. Like it's good and bad at the same time. I mean, did he save his wife and his unborn child? Yes. Did he fucking go deaf, blind, and everything? Yeah. He's a shell. I mean, if you can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel, you can't smell, do you even exist?
Yeah. I don't know. How he basically, do you think he'd starve to death? Because, like,
oh, I don't know, man. I think you would.
Because none of that stuff is going to kill you.
Right. No, none of that stuff's going to kill you. You just don't know you're even anywhere. Imagine that. All your senses are gone. You can't touch things to know where you are. You can't smell things to know what's around you. You can't hear things to know what's around you. You can't use your eyes to see what's in front of you. Nothing. You just know you exist. Imagine
that.
Yeah,
that's terrifying.
Isn't that terrifying?
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. You're basically a, like, I don't even know what to make of that. But that's absolutely terrifying. That's like, I don't know, is that like locked-in syndrome?
No clue.
No, because I know
locked-in. Is that the thing where you're buried alive?
No, locked-in syndrome is when you're basically a vegetable, like in a vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't respond to anything, but you're there. You're still alive. You're kind of just looking around. You can see things. I think this might be worse than locked-in because at least with locked-in, I think you're looking around. Like you see things, you're conscious, but you can't speak. You can't like do anything. This guy is just nothing. You might as well have disappeared completely. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disappear completely.
Yeah, I know. That's the name of the movie.
I was Googling this locked-in syndrome. I thought you're making it up.
No, definitely not.
Neurological condition where a person is fully conscious and aware but unable to move or communicate verbally.
Yeah. So he's worse because you can't be aware of anything if you have zero senses. Like you can't even feel if someone's touching you. That's crazy.
Yeah. You'd rather be dead at that point.
Yeah. Because now you're a prisoner in your old body.
What's the point? Pull the plug.
Yep. There was no plug for him to pull. He wasn't dead.
He
wasn't
been.
In a vegetative state. He was there. Everyone would know he's there, but he wouldn't know he is.
Right. But he, so his partner knows what happens.
Yep.
Like, how does she deal with this? Because, like, do they bring him to the hospital and he's, you know, they just kind of hope he wakes up kind of deal, you know?
They would probably put him on life support at some point, thinking that he's in some sort of weird coma state, but he's not. He's fully alive, just zero senses. And that's horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. So I think we can get into it, though, Corey. What do you give Disappear Completely?
So if it wasn't obvious, this is a 5 out of 5 for me. I loved everything about this movie. The cinematography, practical effects, the sound design, and even the score. Everything was perfect. One of the most brutal, slow burn films I've ever watched. It leaves you kind of feeling depressed after the credits roll. I legitimately felt just gutted when it ended.
Yeah, that's what you said to me when you recommended it or you watched it and you're like, have you watched it yet? And I'm like, no. And you're just like, I'm gutted right now. I'm like,
yeah. Uh-oh. I was like, fucking prepare, dude. Strap in.
Oh, I'm like, oh God, here we go.
It reminded me of The Coffee Table in a way because it had that like, there's just particular scenes that just were like a straight up gut punch.
You know what? I was kind of thinking the same thing too because The Coffee Table is an absolute gut punch. You just feel gross after watching it. And you wouldn't think that with a name like that. So this movie, for me, initially I was going to give it a lower score because it really dragged on for a while. And I wasn't sure where it was going until we started to find out this is some culty curse shit. Once he started losing his hearing is when I was blown away by the bold approach the director took. So I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5 as well. This guy's senses were slowly disappearing. So when it comes to taste, smell, touch, there's really no way to convey that. But with the audio changing to reflect his hearing being lost is when I was hooked. Cinematography was great, but I was a little confused by one thing. The aspect ratio, like not filling the whole screen. I don't know if you noticed that.
No,
it wasn't even 4:3 ratio, which is like kind of square.
Mm-hmm.
It just like there was 2 black bars on the side of the screen. I was like, odd. Yeah, 2 black bars on each side of it. I don't know. Maybe it's just a certain type ratio that they used, whatever. Didn't hurt the movie for me, though. Audio design and mixing was amazing. It really made you feel like you were going deaf too. And even with the blurriness from the vision, it made you feel like you're losing your sight too. I thought it was great. It's a slow burn, but it does build up to an awesome third act. I recommend checking this out. If you want to check it out, it's on Netflix. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies and be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.